You can set up your very own self-hosted email server on your custom domain that's both private and secure, and I'm going to show you how step by step, even if you never touched a server before. We'll launch an Ubuntu virtual private server in the cloud, connect your domain name with proper DNS records, install Docker, and then set up Mailcow, a free and popular open source program for self-hosting email. The server in this video was provided by Verpex, and the link below is an affiliate link, so thank you for your support. By the end of this video, you'll have a reliable, fully operational mail server to create unlimited email addresses, putting you in full control. So let's get started. Now, like I said, I'm gonna be using Verpex to self-host my email. The reason is they are one of the few cloud providers that do not block port 25 and they allow pointer records, both which are critical for email deliverability. And the short answer is no, you cannot self-host email at home on your own hardware due to limitations imposed by most internet service providers. So with that being said, the minimum system requirements to run Mailcow are at least 6 gigabytes of RAM with 20 gigabytes of disk space and one CPU core. That would put you at this server configuration, which gives you 8 gigabytes of RAM. Now, I did test Mailcow for those of you who are a little bit more budget conscious and have those requirements. I did test it with this 4 gigabyte server, which it does work. The only trade-off is you will have to disable antivirus protection. So go ahead and choose whatever VPS configuration makes the most sense for you, and then meet me over in your Verpex dashboard, where you will see that we have our VPS up and running at this IP address. Now, the first step, and it's probably the least fun part of setting up an email server, is DNS records. Basically, we have to map this IP address to a bunch of domain names in order for our emails to actually get delivered and not sent to the spam folder. So in order to do that, you will also need a domain name. I registered my domain name, which we're going to use for this tutorial, lulanta.org with netim. It doesn't matter where you bought your domain name from. You just need to go into your domain name registrar and then find the DNS settings for your domain. For me, it's called zone file. Might be similar for you. Otherwise, it'll say something like DNS settings. What we're going to do is add a bunch of DNS records. Okay, so the first one, we're going to click on create a new record. It's going to be of type A, and the target for this is going to be the IP address of our server. So go back here, we can copy this and then paste it in right here, and then we'll click on confirm. All right, there it is. We're going to do this 5 more times. So create a new record, same thing, type A. This time it's going to be mail .lulanta.org, and that's going to map to the same IP address. Confirm. All right, create a new record. This time it's going to be of type MX, and we're going to leave this blank for the name. The priority is going to be 10, and then the target is going to be mail.lulanta.org. We'll go ahead and confirm that. Okay, create a new record. We're going to choose CNAME this time. For the name, it's going to be autodiscover.lulanta.org with the target of mail.lulanta.org. Confirm that. All right, and very similarly, we're going to do another CNAME record. This time it's going to be autoconfig.lulanta.org with the same target, mail.lulanta.org. We'll confirm that. And then finally, the last one, create a new record, is going to be of type SRV. The name is going to be autodiscover.tcp with the underscores prefixed. Priority is 0, weight is 0, port is 443. And then the target is, again, mail.lulanta.org. And we'll confirm that. All right, now that we have these fundamental DNS records configured, the next thing I'd like to do is a quick sanity check just to make sure that they're published and propagated. So there's this tool, mxtoolbox.com, the DNS lookup. And what you want to do is type in mail.lulanta.org and do the DNS lookup. And we just want to make sure that this A record has been published. And if that's the case, great. We can proceed. Otherwise, it could take up to 24 hours for this, so just keep checking back. But once that is the case, the next thing that we want to do is take care of that pointer record. So basically, a pointer record is not something that we can configure in our domain name registrar. We have to ask our hosting provider to set up a pointer record, which sometimes it's called a reverse DNS record. So instead of mapping your domain name to the IP address, we're going to map the IP address back to the domain name, excuse me. So in order to do that, we have to open a support ticket with your hosting provider, in this case, Verpex. And I've actually already done this. Let me see if I can show you this. So I did this just the other day, and I sent this ticket to them, the Verpex support team, and I said, please set the pointer record for my server's IP address to the hostname mail.lulanta.org. And I confirmed that the A record was already configured. And, you know, within 10 minutes, they got back to me and said that they created that pointer record. So go ahead and do that, and then we can continue on with the tutorial. All right, so now the fun part, in my opinion. We're going to log into the server and install MailCow. So go ahead and open up a terminal window if you're on Mac or Linux. And if you're on Windows, you can open up a command prompt. What we're going to do is type in SSH root at your domain name, lulanta.org. And I got this root, which is the user from right here. That's the username. And then the password is going to be down here at the bottom. If you're using Verpex, they create these secret values. So if you just click here, you can copy it to the clipboard and then open up your terminal window again. Enter. Are you sure you want to continue connecting? Type yes, hit enter. And then go ahead and paste that password in. Hit enter one more time. And now we are logged into our VPS cloud server. So first thing, always good practice, do an apt update to get the latest and greatest packages. And then we'll do an apt upgrade. And then we'll follow that up with some dependencies that MailCow requires. So we're going to install Git and OpenSSL, curl, a bunch of other things. Just so you know, I do have all of these commands on my website, so you can copy and paste them. The blog post is linked below. So the next thing you want to do is, instead of using this root user, which is a security concern, you want to add a new user. You can call your user whatever you like. I'm going to call mine Tony. Give your user a password and go ahead and confirm that password. And then you can give them a name, and all this other stuff is optional. You can just hit enter to go through it. Is this information correct? Capital Y, hit enter. And now we have that Tony user. So we do want to give that user sudo privileges, which is the root privileges. So in order to do that, we'll do a user mod dash A, capital G, sudo, and then the username, hit enter. And now we can switch on over to that user with su dash your username. And as you can see, we are now operating under the Tony user. All right, so MailCow is essentially a bunch of Docker containers. So we're going to need to install Docker and Docker Compose right off the bat here. So again, you can copy and paste this from my blog. Basically, what we're going to do is use the curl command to download this get Docker shell script from get.docker.com. So we'll do that. And then you can do an ls. You see that is now on our file system here. And what we're going to do is execute that. So we will need to prefix our command with sudo sh and then get docker.sh, hit enter, type in your password. And then this is going to go ahead and do its thing and install Docker and Docker Compose for us. Okay, so that installed without fail. The next thing I'm going to do is add Tony to the Docker group, so that way we don't always have to type sudo. So go ahead and do a user mod dash a capital G Docker Tony, hit enter. And now for those changes to apply, we will reboot our server with a sudo reboot, hit enter, and that'll cancel us out of our terminal session here. All right, so give it a minute or two, and once your server is back up and running, we can now log in with the new user that you created. For me, the Tony user instead of roots, we can do ssh tony at lulanta.org. Go ahead and hit enter, type that user's password, and now we are logged back into our server. So what we can do next is actually download and install MailCow. And the official MailCow documentation does recommend that we apply a umask, which is basically telling it to apply specific permissions so that other users can access the files that we generate. So go ahead and do that, 0022. And then what we want to do is install this to the opt directory. And what we're going to use is the git command, git clone, and then the open source repository on github.com for MailCow Dockerized. Go ahead and hit enter, type your password. All right, now we have a directory in there called MailCow Dockerized. Let's go into that directory. And in here, you will see a file called generateconfig.sh, which generates our MailCow configuration file. Before we execute that, we want to just make sure that we know the syntax for the time zone that we want our mail server to be operational on. And this just makes sure that timestamps and all the deliverability is taken care of. So what we can do is use the time date CTL command to list the available time zones. And this by default is going to print out every single time zone around the world. To make it a little easier, you can pipe that to the grep command, which is basically just a search. And I'm on the East Coast of the United States, so I'm going to look for York, or, which is part of the New York, and there you can see it found it. So we just want to notate when the generate config.sh script asks us for the time zone we're going to enter this. And let's go ahead and do that now. So what we want to do is sudo .slash generate config.sh. And this is really nice. So the first thing that it does is it makes sure that the IP address of your server is not on a blacklist somewhere. So as you can see here, our IP address is clean, which is very good for email deliverability. That's a fundamental part. So if you don't see that, then you probably want to get a new server. Next, it says, what is the fully qualified domain name of your server? This for us will be mail.lulanta.org. And again, I probably should have mentioned this earlier, but we will not be sending mail from mail.lulanta.org, although we probably could. We're going to actually send mail from lulanta.org. So the email address that I'll create in just a little bit is tony@lulanta.org, just to be clear. So go ahead and do that. Now it wants the time zone, so we can go ahead and copy this from up above and paste that in. Hit enter. And for the branch, you just want the stable master branch here. So that is number one. Go ahead, type that in, hit enter. And it's going to go ahead and generate that configuration file for us. All right, that looks good. I don't see any errors here. And just a quick note on the IP version 6, that just means that our server doesn't have that enabled. We're just going to operate under IP version 4. So if you see that, don't worry about that unless that's a requirement for you. But with that being said, now if we do ls to see what we have here, we do have our mailcow configuration file. And now that we have that, we can go ahead and bring up our Docker container. So let's do a sudo docker compose pull, hit enter. That's going to go ahead and pull down all of those Docker containers. You can see them all here. I did mention the antivirus earlier, which is this one right here, lamd-mailcow. All the other ones here, Redis for caching, Nginx for the underlying web server, all that good stuff. So we'll let that do its thing. All right, that looks good. So we can follow it up with a docker compose up dash D for daemon mode, which is going to run it in the background. So do that. It's going to start up all those containers. Okay, and just about 30 seconds later, everything looks like it's up and running. But we can verify that with sudo docker compose ps. And it's kind of messy because there's so many Docker containers. But basically what we want to do, let me make this bigger. All right, so there we go. We see all of our containers. And basically what we want to do here is to make sure that everything under the status column has up. We don't want to see anything unhealthy or down or, you know, disabled or anything like that. So this actually looks like we're good to go. All right, cool. So we're done with the terminal window. So let's go ahead and minimize that for now. Open up a new browser tab. And what we can do is log into Mailcow admin dashboard. So we can access that with mail.lulanta.org. Here is the login screen. And by default, the email address slash username. Oh, I'm sorry. This gets me every time. We go to mail.lulanta.org, which is the login once we create an email address, but we want to make sure that we log in as an admin first of all. So go click down here, log in as admin. And then for the username, it is admin by default. And the password is moo, M-O-O-H-O-O, which we're going to change that right away. That's just the default password. All right, we are logged in. You can see the memory usage. We can see all the statuses of the Docker containers here. But before we get into any of this, we want to go to system configuration. And then we can see our admin user here. Let's edit that. And then to change that default password, let's go ahead and you can create or generate a new password. Okay, and we'll save those changes. All right, it is finally time to configure our email domain name, which is going to be the domain name that we're going to create email addresses for. I mentioned it earlier. We're going to do ours under lulanta.org. So in order to do that, we can go to email configuration. Under the domains tab, we'll click on add domain. And for the domain name, you'll go ahead and put your domain name there, lulanta.org. And for the description, you can put whatever you'd like. And then all of these other options here are going to be, the defaults are going to be fine for most people. Feel free to configure them based on your requirements. But if that looks good, we can go ahead and scroll down to the bottom. And what we want to do is click on this button that says add domain and restart SOGO. So go ahead and click on that. All right, cool. So now we see our domain name here, which means that we can start creating actual email addresses associated with that domain name. So in order to do that, we can go to mailboxes, mailboxes, and then add mailbox. For username, like I said, I'm going to make mine tony@lulanta.org. Put my name in here. And then since we only have one domain name configured, that's default selected, lulanta.org. And then I'll go ahead and generate a password for that as well. And then just like before, a lot of these defaults are just fine for most people. If you do want to impose a limit to the mailbox size, you can change it from 0, which is unlimited, to a specific number in megabytes. But otherwise, everything looks good. Just make sure that we keep this email address active, and then we can click on add. All right, so there is our new email address, tony@lulantha.org. Feel free to repeat this process for as many email addresses as you need. And then once we do that, there are some more DNS configuration that we have to take care of. So let's just get that out of the way. If you go to email configuration, back to domains, click on domains, and there's this DNS button right here. Click on that. And what we see here are a bunch of DNS records that MailCal recommends, some of which we have already taken care of. As you can see, there's a green checkbox associated with the A record, the pointer record, which you should have set up by now, MX, CNAME, all these other ones from the beginning of this tutorial. There are four that we do have to take care of now, which for a lot of these are actually just for the TLSA record and this one down here, the DKIM record. MailCal generates these security values that we have to make sure that they match up back to our domain name registrar. So let's go ahead through one by one and add these records as well. We'll start with this DKIM record. So let's go ahead and copy the name here, and back in our domain name registrar, create a new record. As you saw back there, it was of type text. And for the name, it's going to be everything up to the dot here. So DKIM domain key, and then they have lulantha.org here. And then for the value, we want this whole string here. So we'll copy that and paste it in. And it looks like it got a little bit extra here. So everything up to the B and then confirm. All right, we have that one here. Let's create another record. Go back here. This one is going to be, let's do the TLSA record. So you see there's these 3, 1, 1. They're going to be separate fields. Let me show you that. So if you go pick the TLSA, so the certificate usage is going to be 3, selector 1, matching type 1, and then for the value, that's going to be this right here. So we'll copy from the 1 all the way to the 5 and then paste that in for the value. And then as far as the name is concerned, come back over here. We want this part. So basically everything to the left of lulantha.org. So copy that and then paste that in there. Okay, that looks good. Confirm. And that's in there. Now this SPF record right here is of type text. They don't give you a value because there's so many different ways you can configure an SPF record. Based on my research, what's recommended for first time email servers is something that looks like this. So we'll pick a text record. So you're going to have V equals SPF MX A-all. And then for the name, that's just going to use lulantha.org. So we'll go ahead and confirm that. All right, so we just got one more here, and let's go back over. I know a lot of this is just going to be copy and paste for you guys. You don't really understand what each of these records does. I do have on my blog post some basic explanation about what each of these records do, so definitely check that out for some more clarification. But the last one here is this DMARC record, and I feel like this is one of the sources of a lot of confusion with self-hosting email. Again, there's so many different ways you can configure a DMARC record that they don't actually give you a value to put here. There's that, and there's also the fact that technically, according to documentation, which I've linked on my blog post, you're supposed to wait 48 hours before creating this DMARC record after the time that you created the DKIM and the SPF record. So I do highly recommend that you do wait that 48-hour period, which is going to help with email deliverability and ensuring that your messages don't end up in spam. But for the sake of this tutorial, I'm gonna go ahead and do this right now. So for the name of the DMARC record, I'm gonna copy this. And then back over here, we're gonna make one last record of type text. And the name is going to be dmarc.lulantha.org. And then for the value, again, just for a first time self-hosted email setup, something like V equals DMARC 1 and then P equals none is a good place to start off. And I highly recommend that you go check out my blog post. I know I mentioned it a couple times now, but there is a rollout strategy that you need to follow in order to avoid being blacklisted as a new self-hosted email server. You have to follow certain rules and procedures to scale your mail server. You just can't go blasting out a bunch of emails at this point. I don't want to get into it into this video because it's very theoretical and whatnot. I just want to show you the technical details, but definitely check that out. Now, that being said, there are two pieces of information that I will include in this video. One is associated with the TLSA record here. for this to be effective, you should enable DNS SEC, which if you go back to your domain name registration page, you should see a toggle button, something similar to this. You just got to enable that. So that's doing its thing. And the second thing I want to mention is as part of the rollout strategy for your email server, you will have to create an email address, something like dmark@lulanta.org, same type of thing that we went through before. At this point, let's try to refresh the page, see if any of our DNS records have updated. All right, and yeah, it looks like it pulled in all four of our new records. So you will never see a green checkbox under the current state for these SPF and DMARC records because they are very dynamic and they could be multiple different values. So it did pull in those values though, so that looks like we're good to go. Now we're just waiting for this DNS SEC to be enabled, and once that is, we can go ahead and send our first email. All right, so just one last check here. Our DNS SEC has been enabled and it's active. So now it's time to do our email deliverability test. So go back into your dashboard here. We're going to exit out to the login page again. And again, there's a couple different login pages, so make sure you want to log in as a user. And then we can log in as tony@lulanta.org and then type the password that you created and click on login. All right, and now we are logged into this user's email inbox. As you can see, it is completely empty. So let's go ahead and send our first email message. So you can do that, click on this compose button. And what I want you guys to avoid is doing something like this, hey, and testing. So if you do something like this for your first few email messages after setting up an email server, you're likely gonna end up in the spam folder because spam filters will flag this as spam because of the content. Before we send it to an actual email inbox, I really like this website, mail-tester.com. It gives you this unique email address which you can send an email to, and it's going to tell you if your mail deliverability score looks good. So let's make this look better as far as the email message is concerned. All right, so that looks good. Let's go ahead and send that message. And then we'll flip over to this other tab, message has been sent, and you can click this button, then check your score. And okay, so it's not a perfect score, 9.5 out of 10. Let's see what's going on here. So you're not fully authenticated as expected because I rushed the DMARC record. Our message still could be improved. And then finally down here, which I'm really actually surprised about this, we got a half a point off, which is the majority of our score up here, 9.5 out of 10, because we are in a block list. I'm actually not sure how that happened, but we did the spam house check in the beginning. So out of all these spam block lists, we are still looking pretty good. But the true test comes from sending an actual email address to a major email provider like Gmail. So let's go ahead and try that next. We'll go back into our email inbox, compose another email message, and this time I'll send it to my personal email address, one that I just use for testing purposes. On the right-hand side is my inbox for tonyteachestech@gmail.com, and then I'll go ahead and compose this message. Okay, that looks good. Let's go ahead and send this and cross our fingers that we don't end up in the spam inbox over here. Refresh the page. All right, and there we have it. We have our email message from tony@lulanta.org. to tonyteachestech@gmail.com. Now, as you can see, it is unpredictable whether or not your email messages on a brand new email server, self-hosted email server, will pass the 10 out of 10 mail deliverability score or will go to the spam folder or not. So again, I have this blog post at the very end of it. I have some suggestions as far as what to do if you do end up in spam or if you don't have a perfect 10 out of 10 score. So definitely check that out. I won't go through it in this video. And then also at the very bottom, another very important section, scalability, how you're going to roll out your email server. Again, don't go and blast a bunch of emails because that'll likely add to your IP address being on block lists. So there's some information in here about how to deal with that. And then finally, system security. So a bunch of stuff down here at the bottom about how to keep everything up to date, how to enable a firewall, and how to harden your SSH login because we are using a password right now. So I want you guys to check out this video next to learn how to disable password logins via SSH and disable root from being able to log in as well. So check that out, harden your server, go slow. Thank you guys for watching, subscribe, and I'll see you in the next one.